we turn to the next priority of the church is to be missionaries of God. And it's appropriate that today, when we're looking at, when we've had Andy and Hutter here, that we talk about being missionaries of God. And to reflect on this, we're going to concentrate on our thoughts on Acts 11, verses 19 to 30. So if you have Bibles with you, please do turn to Acts 11, verse 19 to 30, but hopefully it will come up on the screen. Is that going to come up on the screen, Debs? Ah, I know. The sermon I was going to preach for today is different. I was going to preach a different sermon today, so I haven't told them on the laptop. I've changed. Ah, there you go. Anyhow, hopefully you'll be able to find it in your Bibles, and hopefully Debs will get there eventually. So, perhaps it's an opportunity to have your Bibles. So, Acts 11, verse 19 to 30. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Father God, as we come to this word, we pray that you might speak clearly to us. Help me as I seek to honour your word. Give me the words and wisdom what to say and what not to say. And Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess most of us would be happy to be called followers of God. And maybe we're not so comfortable being described as missionaries of God, as that title tends to be reserved for people like Andy and Jutta who serve overseas as evangelists. Well, as we look at some of the most important aspects and elements that should be at the heart of the church, we're going to look at how mission should be made central in the life of this church, and I believe in every church. And to help us guide us through this passage, and as you know, I'm a person that likes nice order, so if you're taking notes, we're going to, rather than focus on the ABC of mission, we're going to focus on the DEF of mission, done by Christians, encouraged by churches and forged with others. So if you're taking notes, those are my 3 points. Done by Christians, encouraged by churches and forged by others. Before we look at these though, however, I want to briefly look at what mission is and why it is important for the church. The word mission, I don't know why I'm giving this sermon when we've got Jim here who spoke a little while ago about mission. I feel very capable of doing this, but all I'm going to do is share with you some thoughts from this passage. Mission, at its root, has the idea of sending and being sent. And that is critical to our understanding of biblical mission. It is about sending and being sent. Why is mission important for the church? Well, first, as Chris Wright, the great speaker and writer on mission, says, God is a missionary. We would not know God if the Father had not sent the Son in the power of the Spirit. And second, in the words of the other great one, or even greater one, Jesus, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And as Jesus said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Here we see that mission is a Trinitarian activity in which we are to participate by the power of the Spirit. If we are not missionaries of God, then I think we could hardly call ourselves followers of God, because God, in his activity, sent Jesus, and so Jesus has sent us in the power of the Spirit. We are to be a missionary people. We are to go. In the same way as that we gather as Christians, so should we scatter as Christians. This gathering for worship and scattering for mission is fundamental to the rhythm that marks out what it means to be a true church. We, like the sea, should come in and go out. We gather and we scatter. Each and every week we come together as church, and it's right and important to do so as Christians. And just in the same way as we gather as Christians, we should be scattered during the week out into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is what makes a true church. If we just gather and we never scatter and share the good news of Jesus Christ, then we must question our Christian commitment. Today on Harvest Service, Harvest Sunday, it's appropriate that we focus our attention on being missionary church. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Jesus was focused on this idea of harvest. There are being people out there in the world are ripe for the picking. We need to share the good news of Jesus Christ and bring them to Christ. And that is the work of mission. Now let's just turn, having understood what mission is, the going out into the world and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and having recognized why we as church should do it, we'll look at the DEF of mission. In verse 19 we read, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, spreading the word among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." These verses are absolutely amazing. You perhaps don't get it when you first read them. As I first read them, I didn't perhaps note the fantastic nature of these verses. These people that were sent as missionaries were just ordinary people. You know, it wasn't the church saying, let's set aside these people to go out as missionaries, as we see in other places. What happened here was Stephen was killed, and all of these people, through the persecution, went all around the world, around this part of the world, and they started telling other people the good news about Jesus as Lord. And they went, and it was just ordinary people scattered due to persecution. This wasn't a church initiative. These trailblazing missionaries, and they were trailblazing missionaries, all of the mission to date had told the Jews about the good news about Jesus. And these people said, well, if it's good enough for the Jews, well, should we tell the Gentiles as well? Should we tell the Greeks? And they started to tell the Greeks about it. And these Greeks heard about the good news of Jesus Christ and started to come to Jesus. This is absolutely phenomenal in the work of mission. One commentator makes the point that some of the most significant work for the kingdom has been done by unknown witnesses who are obedient to Christ right where they are and where they do not attract much attention. You too can make a difference.
Mission is done by ordinary people, ordinary Christians. You don't have to be a Jutta and Andy. You don't have to be a William Carey, a Hudson Taylor, or a George Miller, Amy Carmichael, or even Mother Teresa. Mission is done by you and me. In a sense, you might suggest that these people were accidental missionaries. They weren't called or sent by the church. God worked to send them. In simple terms, all that they did was tell people, wherever they went, the good news about the Lord Jesus. And that's what it means to be a missionary. Each one of us who thinks that the Lord Jesus is good news should go out and tell other people. If you think that the Lord Jesus Christ is good news, then it should become first nature, not even second nature, to tell others about him. And each one of us gathers here on a Sunday, and we should go out in the week, and we do go out in the week. We go out to work, we go out to the shops, we go out to play sport, we do all sorts during the week, and as we go out, it should be our natural nature just to say to people the good news of Jesus Christ. If the good news of Jesus Christ really is good news to you, then it must be something that we go out and share about. In the words of Francis Assisi, preach the good news at all times, and when necessary, use words. It isn't just a case of, I think some of us worry about saying something to people and saying, oh, how do I tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ? Sometimes it's living that good news. It's being that good news and just doing the things that show people that you care. And that is the gospel. But sometimes we need to use words also. So why don't we do it? Well, I think often we're afraid to do it. I know I am. Because you're afraid what people might think, or you're afraid you won't have the words. When I was in business, one of the phrases that I've used it here before, is to get change to happen in business, they talk about a burning platform. People will only jump into the sea off a burning platform if the platform is burning and it's that motivates them to go and do it. And I think often we aren't very motivated to go and do mission and tell other people about Jesus Christ as Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I was touched when Julia led the worship a couple of weeks ago. She was talking about love. And I'm going through a challenging period of time at the moment because Megan has gone off to university, my little one. And she's gone off to university and I'm finding it a real toughie to go through. I didn't think I would experience this. Megan's a bit of a crazy and drives me nuts. And yet, I found it quite hard when she's gone off to university. And I found myself crying at times, you know, at all sorts of times. And on Sunday, when Julia was leading worship, I welled up with tears because I missed Megan so much. She wasn't there with me. And I felt this, and I controlled myself and, you know, pulled back the tears and got on and worshipped God and said, Lord, help me to worship. And you know what God said to me in that moment? He said to me, Steve, you know how much you love Megan? I love the world. I love those people that don't know me that much. And your heart breaks for not having Megan around. You cry at the, you open a cupboard and see something. The other day, you know, this is crazy. I don't know if I've told this story or not. On a Sunday, I make sure I have a fresh, clean hanky. I always do this every Sunday. And my hankies are ironed in this way, because they fit in my pocket and they're unobtrusive when they do it. It's craziness, I know. And I'm a person of habit. Megan, before she left for uni, ironed my hankies for me. They were not this shape. They did not fit in any pocket. I don't know what shape they were ironed in, because I couldn't make it. It was more like a house shape. about this size. The other day I went, I think it was that Sunday, I'd gone to the drawer, I'd opened my drawer to get a fresh hanky out and put it in my pocket, and I found the hankies that Megan had ironed. And I just filled with tears just because I thought, my Megan drives me absolutely crazy. And Deb said, why do you want her around when she drives you crazy? And I said, I'd rather be crazy with her than without her. And God spoke to me in that worship and he said to me, Steve, I love the world and do you love it quite as much as you love your Megan? That my heart breaks for those people that don't know me, that don't have that relationship with me, and yet your heart breaks for somebody that does and that you love and you know you have a good relationship with. And what Jesus is saying to me, and I know I have to hear it, and let me say, I think we all have to hear this, is we often don't tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ because, to be honest, we're not that motivated to do so. And what Jesus is wanting to say to us is your heart breaking for a world that doesn't know him. Is your heart breaking for a world that doesn't know him? And will you go out this week, as you go to work, will you just, in some way, do an act of loving kindness for somebody around you? You may not be able to say something, but do an act of kindness to somebody around you. Buy somebody a coffee in the queue ahead of you, or behind you. You know, if you go to Costa and you're having a coffee, say, I'll pay for the next person. And they'll be stunned, and you can do something wonderful that is a kindness to them. It may be just doing something for a person at school that is struggling. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter in as much as that we learn to love the world that Jesus loves. And that we learn to do that, and as we learn to grow a heart for the world around us, then we will find that as our heart breaks for them, we will not be able to shut up and not tell them. When you're a nurse and you're in a hospital, you may not sometimes be able to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ, but you can show them through your kindness, and they may well ask. It's done by ordinary Christians. That's the first thing. Oh, I'm going to speed up. Verse 22 to 24 talks about Barnabas. They're just as amazing as the previous verses. They tell us something interesting about church leadership. I'm going to read them, so I can't not read them. News of this reached the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. This is amazing. This tells us something about church and church leadership. Sometimes it's not about being a pioneer person. Often as leaders, we think we've got to be at the crest of the wave. But actually, sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes we need to understand where the wave of the Spirit is breaking. And we need to get on that wave. And sometimes it's not us as Christian leaders that do it, because mission is done by ordinary people. And what happened is ordinary people went out from the church. They were scattered by God and they started telling the good news of Jesus Christ, and many people started coming to Christ. And what happened is the church got behind them. They didn't get in front of them. They didn't say, oh, I don't know if you can do this or whatever. They got behind. They saw what God was doing and they got behind and they encouraged. And Barnabas, his name meant encourager. Now, I think as church leaders, but as everybody in church, we need to get behind people that are doing mission. We need to support those people. We need to support Andy and Yutta and encourage them. Wait, hey, how many of you have heard this morning and can tell me what way would really encourage Andy in mission? Jaffa cake. Now, how much is a packet of Jaffa cakes? Pounds, okay. And to send them to Haiti, I don't know how much that's going to be. But I can't expect they're very much to spend. So, for a couple of quid, wouldn't it be great if he was inundated with Jaffa cakes? Just imagine his laughter if every day he received loads of Jaffa cakes. And he would think, I only mentioned that in passing. And yet the whole church, 150 people, have sent me Jaffa cakes. And it would make him laugh. It would be fun for him. And it would just give him an encouragement. We can all be Barnabases, encouraging other people. Being a pioneer in mission is hard. Forging a new way sometimes can be hard. And those of us that are pioneers, sometimes, you know, the joy of getting started things is great. We all love starting things, and we've noticed as elders, many things get started. It's the keeping them going over the years and years that is the challenge. And we as church need to get behind and encourage those people that are involved in mission and say, yeah, we're behind you. Keep going. This is what Barnabas did. He encouraged them to perseverance and wholeheartedness. He said, don't give up. Keep going. And as mission, as churches, and as people within the church, we need to encourage other people to get involved in mission. We need first to do it. All Christians should be doing mission in the world. But we need to encourage others as well. So you've got two things to do after this morning's sermon. You've got to get involved in mission, and you've got to support others that get involved in mission. That's the crux of it. We need to know where the Spirit is working, and we need to get involved, and we need to support that and help and encourage people. People that are encouragers, you'll notice them by two things. They're the same as Paul. No, Barnabas, sorry. They are people of integrity, good men or women, and they are full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. People that are encouragers are generally people that are good people. Integrity. They have integrity and they are full of the Spirit and of faith. If you are a good person, or you consider yourself a good person, and that you are full of the Spirit, then you will be an encourager. And we need more encouragers. I'm going to move on to the third and final point, which is forged by others. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. You've heard the poem line, or most probably the first line of the poem. You most probably don't know the rest of it. No man is an island. And I guess we all recognise that we don't live independently of one another. Life in this day and age is becoming more interconnected. And as in other spheres of life, mission, we need to be forged into partnership with others if we're going to achieve results. Trying to do mission on your own is a hard thing. We need to stand with each other and encourage each other, but we also need to get together in groups. That's why I would say at schools, get involved in the Christian Union. You know, sometimes you look at Christian unions and you think, oh, they're weirdos. I don't know that I'm an ordinary Christian and not one of those weirdos. I think I'll give Christian Union a miss. Well, I think that's ever so sad, because everybody's weird, and you get to know them and then they're even weirder. We're all odd, Christian or non-Christian. I think we need to get together and help one another in mission. One of my areas of ministry is that I believe that I'm called to get together with people in mission within this city. So I've made good efforts to get to know the ministers at Holy Trinity. We theologically and in many ways, we are worlds apart. But we have always sought to get together, and I am thrilled as Gwyneth comes on board at Holy Trinity. We meet every 3 weeks, is it? 4 weeks? I can't remember. It's in the diary. And we meet without fail, and we get together, and we pray for one another, and we pray for the mission. And we talk about what we're doing in this local area, and we're trying to work together in mission. It's only as we partner together with other people that we will do this. And I would encourage you to partner with people. Find other people. Get involved in Christian unions. Get involved in workplace things. If you've got a Christian union at work, get involved in it. If you're involved in sport, get involved in Christians in sport. Encourage one another. There are many opportunities where we can help and partner with other people, and we can come alongside each other. It's worth noting in this story that it's not the mother church sending support to the daughter church in mission. It's the daughter church making financial provision to the mother church. The partnership has to be mutual. Partnership isn't about one superior group helping another less superior group. If we get that idea in our heads, we are doing mission totally wrong. That is a notion that has often been the rich West helping the poor other countries. And that shouldn't be our method of or mode of mission. Partnership is about mutuality. And we see here that this church is sent Paul and Barnabas go and help this church, and this church sends finances back. It's a mutual relationship. And like a marriage or any other partnership, it needs to be done together. And we need to support one another. And we need to forge relationships with others to help us in mission. Because mission can be hard and lonely and difficult. So, to conclude. The DEF of mission, done by Christians, encouraged by churches, and forged with others. This week, your homework. Are you going to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody else? This is a rhetorical question. Answer it in your own heart. And take it as an encouragement. You are an ordinary Christian. But mission is done by ordinary Christians. So go out and share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Encourage someone else who is doing just that, whether it be Andy Newton or whether it be somebody in your house group who's just managed to tell their friend something about Jesus Christ. Encourage someone who is doing mission. And thirdly, work out how you can help somebody else, how you can partner with somebody else in mission in your everyday life. If you're in a work situation where you work in a team, talk to your house group or those that you're part of in church. And if you're not part of a group, then let me encourage you to be that. Talk to those people and say, how can I do better in mission? How can I do better? Who can I partner with to get mission happening in my workplace? So those are your three things to do this week. Share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Encourage someone in mission and work in partnership with someone to make mission happen. Let's pray as the musicians return. Father God, we recognize that we are called to be followers of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was a missionary. He went out into the world to show by acts and words the grace of God. Help us to recognize the grace of God at work in our world, and let's get behind it, Lord, we pray. To help us to work to mission in this place and through this place, in our workplaces and in everywhere we go, to tell people of the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we recognize that we can only do this when we are filled with the power of the Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Come, sweep through us, cleanse us, renew us, and fit us for the work of mission.